We are continuing the sermon series through the Gospel of Mark, and this morning we are going to Mark chapter 6, from verse 1 to 6, and we are going to read through there. What we have seen in the Gospel of Mark so far is that wherever Jesus went, there were miracles. He casted out demons, he healed the sick, and he proclaimed the good news to all who wanted to hear the message. Jesus even used parables to convey certain kingdom teachings so that those who have ears to hear and want to hear and who are accustomed to wanting to hear from Jesus what he's saying about this kingdom breaking in, he's speaking to in parables so that those who truly want to understand will understand. Those who are hardened of heart will miss the message. And when we get to Mark chapter 6, verse 1 to 6, I want to read to you this morning what is unfolding in these six verses. And then we will unpack it and reflect on it, learn from it. Amen. And it begins by saying, he went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter's the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. Now we've seen Jesus do incredible miracles. A lame man that was raised through the roof had his sins forgiven and he could walk out. And Jesus did that specifically so that those could see that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins, and he is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. And we see Jesus healing many with unclean spirits, and all these miraculous miracles. From this, he goes on to feeding thousands of people, 5,000, and he walks on water. Jesus is truly someone that the world has never encountered in his entire history, because it's the Son of God on the earth, walking and living amongst men. And he begins teaching in synagogues that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this group, this audience, this church, the synagogue, hears the message that Jesus is preaching. And they marvel at how is it that this man can say these incredible things? How can this man do such an incredible miracles that no one has ever done or seen? And they take offense at Jesus because, isn't this the carpenter that we saw growing up? Isn't this the son of Mary? By the way, that's an insult that they give Jesus, because normally we would say, is that not the son of his father, Joseph? But they don't say Joseph, they say, isn't this the son of Mary? Meaning, they still see him as the illegitimate child that was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And they say, but don't we know his brothers and his sisters? Aren't they here with us? And they take offense and they shut out. And they reject Jesus. And just after this, Jesus sends out to the 12, and they are also rejected. And this morning I want to speak to you and draw from this about rejection. And maybe touch on ego, that how do we deal with the deep wound of rejection? How can we, the sermon title this morning, sorry if I didn't mention it, is Jesus our teacher. Because Jesus teaches us how to live and how to understand the kingdom. And here we can learn from Jesus, how do we deal with rejection by reflecting on how he dealt with rejection. And I don't know about you, but throughout my life, I have experienced many rejections. And what rejection does to you as a human being is it hits you at the very core of who you are. And I'll expand on that. I just want to focus in on Jesus this morning and in how incredible it is in how he deals with this. And maybe we can learn from him. How do we continue serving people who are openly rejecting us? Because I think it's easy when we are rejected to also then reject in return. But Jesus didn't do that. They rejected him, and still he performed miracles on those who wanted to receive miracles. And then he just went on to do what he was doing. It didn't alter him. It didn't change him. He served those who wanted to be served. And I think sometimes when we face rejection, we close up. And we say, I'm rejected in this group. Let me reject them as well. And we don't see Jesus doing that with people. And that's difficult for us because it's easy to, I'm feeling wronged, so let me take a step back. Let's learn from Jesus this morning. But Jesus is in his hometown. He's in Nazareth. The people who saw him grow up, he's there and he's preaching the gospel to them, and they take offense. And the question is, why can't they see who Jesus truly is? Through all the miracles, through what he's preaching, they can't believe that Jesus, a mere human being, is doing all these powerful things and preaching all these powerful things. But the interesting thing that we can see here is that Jesus is not limited by a lack of faith because he is God. And I'll expand on that, because if you don't ask, you don't receive. So if you reject Jesus, then if you don't ask, you don't receive. But there were others in the group who wanted to receive and who did believe, and they were the ones receiving the miracles. Mark is not focusing on faith being the limiting factor of God to move and Jesus to do miracles. It is about those who were open. They received the miracle. Those who rejected him, they did not, because I don't think they will reject Jesus and then go to him for healing. It's a bit odd. Because they rejected him. So, but as I said, that them calling Jesus the son of Mary and not the son of Joseph, that is a direct insult to Jesus' very identity. Saying that you are not even born legitimately. While he is born of God, he is the Son of God, he is God in the flesh. So they insult him at the very core of who he is. That's deep rejection. That is a deep wound. And that is not from strangers. That's from people that he grew up with. That is from people in the towns, those who know him. They knew his brothers, they knew his sisters, they knew his mother. Maybe they didn't say the son of Joseph because maybe Joseph has passed away by then, but I think they would still call him the son of Joseph even if Joseph did pass away by that time. But the thing is that unbelief itself was not what was hindering Jesus' ministry. But because they didn't believe, those who were sick, they didn't believe, didn't come for healing. Those that were sick, that did believe, they came. And we see from what Mark is saying, they were few. But, so how can you be healed if you don't come and ask Jesus for healing? Because you are rejecting him. That's what Mark is saying in that. But the question is, that I want us to look at this morning, is how did Jesus handle rejection? Because rejection is sometimes difficult to handle. And I think why it's difficult to handle in our lives is because sometimes we don't understand what's going on. While it's going on, sometimes we feel such deep hurt when we are rejected. It knocks our ego, it diminishes our self-worth, and we don't know the way we are acting because of that is because of rejection. Maybe someone rejects you by hanging up the phone on you, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get you. And then you call them once. They don't answer you because they are busy rejecting you. You call them twice. They don't answer. They are rejecting you. You call them 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. Before you know it, in 5 minutes, you've called someone 15 times just because you feel so rejected and you want to assert yourself and say, I am not worthy, or I don't deserve this rejection. It makes us do things that we don't understand that we are doing, but maybe if we can identify, hold up, I'm being rejected. It's causing me to feel certain things. How do I deal with this? Let's look at how Jesus handled rejection. When they said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. They rejected him because they could not grasp his identity as the Son of God, because they knew him, they saw him grow up. Sometimes we will face rejection simply because people know you too well. Simply because they know you too well. Maybe your aunties in your family or your grandmother, maybe they saw you when you were this young spilling milk out of your mouth when you had too much milk, and now you are speaking to them about the gospel and the things of God, and they say, I reject the message because of the messenger. That because the gospel confronts something in their hearts, and they don't know, now they have to deal with it. Now they have to do something with this gospel that has been presented to them, and it's challenging them, and it's easier to reject the messenger and say, yeah, but didn't I see you 4 years ago smoking cigarettes, and now you want to tell me? No. That's the rejection here, is that, I'm not saying Jesus smoked cigarettes, I'm just saying, I'm speaking about you, about us, about people living in this day and age, is that that's how people handle when they are confronted with the message of the gospel and they need to change. And God is speaking to them. It's easier to reject the messenger than to go in to say, you know what, I think you are right. And especially with those who know you well, who saw you through your BC days, your before Christ days, especially those who saw you drinking and boozing and doing all sorts of ungodly things, and now you are saved, you are no longer, that is not even who you are, that old you have died in the baptism water and you've raised into new life, and now you are speaking life, but people are rejecting you simply because they remember the old you. That's deep hurt rejection. But in Jesus' case, there was no BC days. He is the sea. That's a pun. You can laugh. He's always been the Son of God. He did not become God. He did not become the Son of God. He was born who he is. And he grew up who he is. Without sin means he never sinned. There was no day in his childhood where he was a sinner. And they took offense at him simply because the message was convicting them. So they rejected the messenger. It's only that this messenger is the Son of God himself. Maybe they were asking themselves, under whose rabbinic scholarship did he grow up? Who taught Jesus? Where did he go to school? No, but he's a carpenter. He made wooden tables and whatever they made at that time into carpentry. That's what he did. And now he's speaking with such authority. He's casting out demons. He's healing the sick. He is changing the world upside down, day by day, step by step, word by word. He is changing the lives of people. And they reject him simply because, oh, but I know you. Be careful that we do not reject the voice of God simply because we know the messenger. That we reject the message. This is what is happening here. But how Jesus dealt with it, he simply acknowledged, a prophet is not without honor in his hometown, except in his hometown. It happened to Elijah as well. And then he went to the Gentiles and performed miracles there. So don't be surprised when those closest to you reject you. And that rejection hurts. hurts the most. Sometimes that hurts the most. Those you love, those who love you, those you have a relationship with, when you experience rejection from them, it hurts even more. If a stranger that I don't know from anything rejects me, it's easy. Okay, you have zero impact on my life, so your opinion about me has no impact. But those who raised you, those who grew up with you, your friends, when they, loved ones, when they reject you, it hurts because it's like you are part of who formed me and now you are casting me aside because you don't like something. And Jesus acknowledges the rejection and saying, you are rejecting me. It's nothing new. Happened to other prophets. And he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. That even though they rejected him, those who were willing to come and be healed and be changed by the gospel message, Jesus still served them. It did not alter his identity. It did not alter his mission. It did not alter his love and his capability to serve people. How many times are we rejected through people and then we stop, we cut off ties and we say, okay, you rejected me, that's it, I had enough. Now, boundaries is another sermon we'll have another day. I'm not speaking about boundaries. I'm speaking about when someone rejects you, will you still be willing to love them the way Christ loved them? Will you still, if they rejected you and they call you in the middle of the night and say, my car broke down, will you still pick up the call and go help them? Even if they are the ones that caused you the most pain you've ever imagined. Because that's what Jesus would have done. And that's what he did. They rejected him. They insulted the Son of God. And he still healed those who were willing. He still served. Not only did it not alter his identity, it did not deter him in his mission. He did not pack up shop and say, because 4 out of the 10 have rejected me, I'm going to do nothing for the other who might be open to receive. No, he still served. And then verse 6, second part of verse 6 says, and he went about among the villages teaching. He just continued. Fear did not come in and say, let me not go and continue to teach lest I be rejected again. I will pick up this thought in a while. But let's speak about rejection in our own lives. Because there's an effect and there's a cause. Like rejection does something to us. Because it has a direct impact on your identity and your worth. Because you see yourself in a way, you feel about yourself in a certain way, and someone comes and they invalidate that who God created, and it hurts you. Because rejection strikes at the very core of who you are. And when rejection strikes you at the very core of who you are, it can have a response on your ego where you say, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to prove myself. I'll show my dad. I'll show so-and-so. I'll be the best businessman. I will do all of these things. I will show them that I'm worthy of their attention and their affection and their love. And you stand up and now you want to call once, twice, three times, four times, 10 times in 5 minutes because you must now be heard. That's ego. Coming in and say, how dare you? You don't reject me. That's negative. The other negative impact it has, it's, okay, I will accept your rejection and I will allow your rejection to change my identity and I will shy back. If that's what you are saying about me, I'll believe it. Now you take the lie of the enemy and you allow that to form you and build you. That's generally the two responses that I would, in my limited knowledge, say that I think those are two good summaries that we can summarize rejection. You either want to stand up for yourself out of a space of ego and pride, or you accept the lie and you allow it to change your identity. And when that happens, when you take it both ways, rejection breeds insecurity and fear. Because now I'm feeling insecure, so now I will show my worth. Now I'm feeling insecure, so now I'll show my big bucky. Now I'm feeling insecure, now I will show off. Like Moketi told me yesterday, I was laughing at this while I was working at Eskom. Anyone? Okay. It's a thing people do when they see a funny meme. They comment on that, this made me laugh. But they don't stop at this made me laugh. They say, this made me laugh while I am at work at FNB. So they want you to know I have value. They want you to know. Yeah, okay. So we do those sort of things, or we post on social media our heavyweights or our outfits or whatever it is that will make us feel just a little bit better, so that four people can validate me for the one that rejected me. Rejection is a silent wound. I wanted to say here, so maybe I'm just going to say it. Rejection is a silent killer of hopes and dreams and true potential that God has called you to be. And I think that while you are battling with this wound of rejection, bring it before God, lest that wound of rejection hinder you from getting to where God is leading you. I had to overcome rejection of speaking in front of people. That I have been so rejected, my worth was shot down, but God called me to preach. So how do I take that and preach? I had to overcome. And on that I stuttered as well, and I still stutter sometimes, but thank God for His grace that I can speak to you this morning without that hindrance. But when rejection, that wound comes, it might deter, it might kill that which God called you to. Because maybe your response is, God, I know you are calling me to speak to someone or to pray for someone, but this insecurity and this fear of being rejected is hindering me. So the wound of rejection hinders what God maybe wants to do in your life. That rejection strikes at the core of who you are is that rejection distorts your self-worth. It destroys it. And I'll tell you why it destroys you. And the ego, that thing of I'm going to stand up or I'm going to take it. It is a desire for validation. Because accepting a lie of the enemy, it is not finding your worth in God. So when a lie comes, you accept it because you desired validation and someone rejected you and you take it. Or you stand up and you want that person to answer and you want to be heard and you want to be listened to or whatever one I want to say there. It is you, the wound of rejection turns you into someone who desires validation and a people pleaser. And rejection can cause havoc and devastation in your life. And it is important that we realize when we are reacting to something, are we reacting? Why are we reacting? Am I reacting because I feel my ego bruised? Am I reacting because I feel rejected? Am I reacting because the rejection is making me feel less of who I know I am? But it's just hurting and I'm feeling this way. Because when we know why we are reacting and that we are being rejected, we can face it. Jesus acknowledged and saying, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. He acknowledged the rejection. And despite of the rejection, he continued being who he is and he continued with his mission. He continued to serve the people. And he continued to love. And then how do we move from acknowledging rejection to dealing with rejection so that it no longer has this altering, deterring impact on our lives? And I want to give you seven things on how to deal with rejection. And I'm going to expand on some of it because some points are not just one-liners. Some points are things that we need to know in who we are. Because if we are secure in our identity in Jesus, rejection might sting a little bit, or it might not sting at all, because we are secure in the one that created us and formed us, that my friends who I so love or that loved one that I so loved, or my family that I so look up to, their opinions of me don't hurt me, they don't hinder me, because I am called by God. I am on a godly mission in my relationship with God to get to where God is leading me. And no one can say anything about that that will hurt my identity and my calling. Irrespective of where God is using you, irrespective of where you are, just in your human worth, God has a say, not people. And when we allow people to have a say, is when we are rejected. And I know it's not nice having someone hung up the phone in you in a discussion. I know it's not nice when someone turns around and walks away while they are talking to you. It's not easy. Always. But if you learn to deal with rejection, you will realize maybe it's the other person rejecting you that has the issue. Jesus, there was nothing wrong with him. There was something wrong with the crowd. They allowed their own human eyes to see Jesus and not God. And they rejected him. So maybe sometimes people rejecting you, it's not you, it's them. But here's number one. Acknowledge and repent, because sometimes it's you. Sometimes people might be rejecting you because it's you. Acknowledge and repent. Maybe you did someone and you hurt someone and now they are rejecting you because they don't want to be hurt by you anymore. Or you are feeling rejection because of them and not because of you, because of something they are doing, not that you are doing. Acknowledge it. And if you are in the wrong, repent. Number two is to forgive quickly. Because rejection, because it hurts so hard, it hurts so deep, rejection often comes unexpectedly. Rejection comes when you are maybe feeling secure in something and someone does something and it breaks that security and it causes deep wound. And then in that wound, we fester and we think about it and we meditate it until we find something happened on Friday and it's Monday morning and I could not stop thinking about that one event that happened on Friday because I felt rejected. Now it's harboring things in you. Maybe it's Monday and the person is still not answering your phone call. Forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. Number three, receive grace from God and extend grace as well. Jesus did not reject the crowd because of those who rejected him. He still extended grace to serve and to love them, even despite of those who rejected him. Seek peace. Seeking peace is when you take this issue, you take this rejection, and you go to God, and you say, God, this is what I'm feeling. This is why I think I'm feeling it. Please intervene in the situation. And you just sit there, and you ask God, God, come and affirm my identity. Let me find myself in you again. What are you saying about me? God, you love me. Thank you. That is part of prayer. Number five is prayer. Pray for the rejection. Pray for God to reveal to you this root, this wound. Because maybe the rejection that you face is a small rejection, but the reaction is big because there's a deeper root of a deeper rejection that has not been dealt with, that is lingering. And any time you feel the slightest rejection, it's triggering this bigger rejection that is undealt with. So when you pray, ask for God to expose this root that it can be dealt with. And number six is, this is personally, this is a challenging one. It's saying, put on love. Put on love. Even though you reject me, I will love you. Even though you were causing me unbearable pain, I will love you. Because God loves me. Because there was a time in my life where I rejected Jesus every single day until I gave my heart to Him. And He loved me the moment I said, Jesus, I'm sorry. Put on love. And number seven ties into that, that find comfort in Jesus and the rejection He faced. Because if we think about Jesus and rejection, rejection was no unknown thing to Jesus. Everywhere He went, He was rejected. Some followed, some rejected. Until he preached the gospel to wherever he went. He raised Lazarus from the dead. After that, he went into Jerusalem, and many that saw that miracle followed him. And they came into Jerusalem saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Here is the King. Here is the Messiah. And they acknowledged Jesus for who he is. And it caused a stir, and they sought to arrest Jesus. And when Judas betrayed him, rejected him, after spending so many years with Jesus, Jesus was arrested, brutalized, tortured. And maybe those who were singing Hosanna, 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 the next day was there saying, Free Barabbas, Free Barabbas. And Jesus experienced the ultimate rejection, that the world rejected its Savior, and he was crucified. And we say, maybe some of us say that, well, we didn't reject Jesus. We didn't do any of that. Maybe you are rejecting Jesus by not accepting him and not obeying him. And then we are just as guilty as those who shouted, Free Barabbas. But even still, rejected on the cross, the one thief Jesus said to, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. In his worst rejection, the ultimate point of rejection anyone can ever face, you and me, so that we can come to Christ, be saved, be transformed, and be reunited with God. That is the beauty of the gospel. That is the beauty of this Christianity that we pursue in our relationship with Christ, is that Jesus himself was rejected, the ultimate point for you and me. So that we can say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I no longer want to reject you. I no longer want to follow my own will. I no longer want to live a way that rejects you and hurts people around me. So there are two things that I want to say in conclusion, is that the rejection we face, bring it to God. Allow him to deal with that wound so that we can respond the way Jesus did in loving people despite their rejection for us, knowing that there was a time that we rejected Christ. And maybe there is still some areas in our life in which we are rejecting him, that we bring that before God and say, Lord Jesus, forgive us. I pray this morning for every heart and every person in this room, that you will forgive us for our rejection, rejecting you. And I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross, that we can be forgiven and be reunited. Thank you, Jesus, that you took the ultimate rejection so that we can have life and life in abundance, being reunited back to the Father. And I pray, Jesus, this wound of rejection that we have, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and touch every person in this room, that you will remove that root, that you will come and heal the wound. In Jesus' mighty name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name.